All right. Good afternoon. All right. This is Leo from Talk Sports Philly Radio, bringing you another edition here in the Philly area. And today we have a special guest on. His name is Ron McCluskey, and he is an entertainer in the local Philly area / New York area. So how you doing, Ron, today?
I am doing great, and you're absolutely right. I do have a background in show business and comedy and whatever. However, I do also have a sports background.
Can you fill us in on what that is?
Yes. It is because of my father and my brother, not because of me. My father was an excellent athlete, and he ended up becoming a pitcher for the minor leagues.
Oh, get out. And which team?
Well, he played for several teams, but the most important one was called the Pittsburgh Generals. And now, I'm sorry, not Pittsburgh, Petersburg. Now, when I say Petersburg, I don't mean Petersburg, Florida. I mean Petersburg, Virginia. So that's
okay.
Where he played. He ended up making the All-Star team. And when I went through town one time, I stopped at the local library, and I got all the old newspapers from that town. His biggest year was 1950, and it was great because you could find all the stats about different athletes and especially pitchers. So he had a great year there. And then my brother was born. He was born first, and he had a wonderful career too. He was a natural athlete. He played everything in high school, football, basketball, track, baseball, the whole nine yards. He was the first one to get a scholarship for baseball and football to Rutgers University.
Oh, wow.
And
that's a little history
there. I just got a phone call 2 months ago that my father and my brother will both be inducted into the Westfield Hall of Fame for athletes next November.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you and your family for that. It's certainly an interesting background growing up in the sports world. What would you say, growing up, with a father that did sports, what was it difficult as a kid? Was it just a dream come true going to the games? I mean, how was that when growing up?
Well, I think, my dad was a great guy, and he loved to talk. And so, having sports as a background was great. And then, so I had one brother who was into sports and then me who was into show business. And I think he was like a frustrated sports announcer. I think he eventually, he wanted to do sports on radio, but he just, he never did it. So he put all his energies towards my brother, and thank God my brother was good. So it was kind of like he said to me, Ronnie, you don't have to worry. I don't have to push you, but it's great. But I grew up in a town. I don't know if you know about my town at all, but my town dominated sports for years and years and years. I mean, Westfield, New Jersey was known for just incredible football teams and baseball teams and swimming and everything. So, they were always in the top 10.
And that's in the, just to refresh my memory, that's in more in the north end of Jersey?
Well, it's in
Westfield
County. So,
It's about
an hour from Philly. And it's a great town. And, I think to this day they still do very, very well in sports. But, it's funny. When you talk about sports, some people, they only live the high school years or they think about their college days or they think about the pros. But it's really divided into three different sections.
Yeah, absolutely. And typically, the pro players have all been developed from high school into college into the professional leagues. I mean, you have an occasional – walk on who never played sports before and ends up going right into the pros, but that's on the rare side. I played four different sports in high school. I played sports through college, but I never, went to the professional arena, mostly because of my size. I just wasn't built the professional size. And so I just didn't follow that. I followed my career in originally started with IT, and then I opened up Talk Sports Philly and have been doing that for the last 9 years. So, that's has been my background there. I lived up in New York City for a little bit, and I was living up there during the Subway Series in 2000. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Sure.
But that was an interesting time, you know, living in New York City. And of course, I'm fully based, fan based. So, you know, I support all the Philly teams, but you know, that was really interesting being up in New York there. Do you find yourself being in New Jersey, as many people are, split between New York and Philly, or, you know, which teams are the ones you follow?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never imagined supporting anything other than the New York teams until I got a job in Philly. And I worked in Philly for 4 years, just, you know, doing a job just to pay the bills. But
right.
I couldn't believe how South Jersey all rooted for the Philadelphia team. So, yeah, so
right.
It just didn't even enter my mind that you would root for anything other than the New York teams. And now, in the last 20 years, how things have changed, you have fans, it doesn't matter where they grew up, they support teams all over the country, you know?
Right.
I mean, very rarely would you find a guy that lives in Jersey supports a team from Colorado, or a guy from Jersey supports a team in Florida. It was inconceivable. But nowadays, because of cable TV and whatever, you can support anybody from anywhere.
Right. It's a smaller world now, so you can get the intimate knowledge of the team that you're following no matter where you're at now. Where before, you know, you in the old days, you only saw what was in your local market. You didn't really have access, you know, to the teams outside of your market. So I think, know, people were much more loyal then. But I always called the Delianadian line is Trenton. You know, south of Trenton typically goes for Philly area, and then north of Trenton typically goes in the New York area range. I always called it, you know, New Jersey is the armpit of New York and the armpit of Philadelphia, you know, in between there. And I can say that because I grew up in Jersey. So, but so I see, I mean, I was looking over your YouTube channel, and I see you had the song Big Bad Don on there, which I've heard many times. Is that your song, or was that you just uploaded as a clip? That's you.
That's mine. I wrote it. I can see the whole thing. I and believe it or not, here's the great thing about, you know, with the internet, the guy that did all the images I never even met, and he was in California.
Okay.
So we downloaded the song. So we downloaded the lyrics and all that stuff. I sent it to him. I mean, I, you know, sent him all the graphics. I said, this is where I want this, this, and this. And then he sent it back, and he put the whole thing together.
Wow.
So, yeah,
I was noticing it had 2.2 million views. I think I've seen it on TV before, somebody talking about it on TV before. But, I was surprised when I went and looked through your videos, and I saw that there. And I'm like, that's not the guy who did this song, is it? You know, I just had to ask you when I was interviewing you, and you have a lot of shorts there, you know, some good impressions and stuff like that. So, I mean, did you?
That's what I was going to tell you. You talk about my YouTube channel. I thought you were going to bring up the fact that I do Casey at the Bat, and I do it with 7 different voices.
Mm.
Did you see that, or you didn't?
I have a listing of all the different. You have a lot of different videos up here. Yeah, there's Casey at the Bat, my version of Casey with 7 All-Stars. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look through watch all the videos, but I watched a couple of them. And you really do some good impressions there. Now talk. give me a little bit about, because I was one, you know, I've always been around the entertainment industry. Obviously, I lived up in New York City. You know, I've been in the Philly, Jersey area, which is big in entertainment. And I lived out in Los Angeles and Hollywood for many years throughout the 90s. So I've always been in and around entertainment. I just never stepped really out front. But I always thought theater was where the most talent was. Because you got one shot. You're live on stage. And I always thought the most talent in actors was found through the theater and Broadway and stuff like that versus TV and the movies. Not saying that they're not good actors doing it that way. I just always thought, you know, that what took the most talent was that. Now, how did you get into that? Were you a natural with that? Did you, you know, just something that popped into your life or what?
Well, no, I was one of these kids, you know, growing up. I grew up in the 60s, and, you know, you had all these talk shows on television. So you had anywhere from Mike Douglas to Dick Cavett, to Johnny Carson, and most of all these comedians that came on who also did impressions, they all kept saying over and over and over again, I started in the Catskills, started in the Catskills, started in the Catskills. And I had no idea where the Catskills were. And when I was in high school, I walked into a deli, and I said, you know, where is this place? I thought it was like a mythical place. And the guy drew me a map, and I found out it was just 100 miles from my house, right up 17, Liberty, New York. So one spring, I got my car, went up there, went to every hotel, brought a little resume because I had done stuff in high school, and I said, I want to work here. And Brown's Hotel said yes. Now, Brown's Hotel was famous for Jerry Lewis. So I got a job up there, and I'm telling you, it was perfect. It was like it was like going to college. I spent four summers up there. And I saw everybody. I mean, Henny Youngman, Jackie Mason, Don Rickles. It was just great. So I learned so much. And then I figured, all right, I'm done here. Let me go to California. So I went and lived in California for 3 years and did all stand-up comedy. I did the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store and everything. And that was great. And then I learned the stuff there. And then I ended up working on cruise ships. I mean, everything that happened to me, I just got lucky. And I went from one thing to the other.
You were a little bit of a journeyman entertainer type of thing.
Exactly.
Where you've been around. Now, where did you live in L.A. or out in California when you were there?
Well, right in Hollywood, right off of Hollywood.
Oh, you were in Hollywood, too. Okay. Well, you know, I lived off of Detroit Street, which is right down from The Price is Right. I lived off of Melrose Avenue, which you should know. And then I lived off of Kings Avenue, which was in West Hollywood, but it was right off of Melrose there. And I lived off of Stanley Avenue. I was all through Hollywood and all through that area. When I was out there, which was in the 90s, I used to hang with Matt Perry from Friends. If you remember the show Friends, I used to hang with Chandler, the guy that used to say, oh my God, all the time. And Connolly from Entourage, and then occasionally Shannon Doherty from Beverly Hills, 90210. So I knew a lot of people, and Leonardo DiCaprio. My nickname's Leo, and I have an interesting story. They used to call me the other Leo in Hollywood. And when we used to go up, and this is a true story, I kind of like, you know, fell on the inside crowd, you know, of that time in Hollywood. And it's like a big high school. Everybody kind of ends up knowing each other once you walk in, you know, whether somebody's cool or not. They didn't want paparazzi around, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a crowd of people, and, you know, we'd run the hills or Sunset Boulevard, you know, during the weekends or during the week. And occasionally the celebrities would come out, but you would never know who was really coming out, you know, until the last minute. So, and Leo was one of the people who was on the outside of the group. You know, occasionally he'd come and hang out, and he knew several people that I knew, but I didn't know him that well. And anyway, so when we were calling, people used to call up, and my one buddy would be, okay, well, this person's going out, this person's going out, and Leo's going out tonight. And then they would go, oh, Leo's going out? Okay, yeah, we'll go out. Leo's going out. Cool, great. I can't wait to see Leo. And, you know, they're getting all excited. And then my buddy would stop and say, no, wait, the other Leo's coming out. And they would go, oh, well, I had something just came up, I'm busy, you know. It was funny. So I was known kind of like as the other Leo when I was there in Hollywood in the 90s. I don't think he would remember me now, but it certainly is a la-la land out there. It's another...
Oh, yeah, when I was also up there trying to make money, I also was a chauffeur. So I used to drive a limousine. And the two biggest celebrities I ever chauffeured was Don Meredith, the quarterback, who stiffed me, never gave me a tip. Nice guy. But the other guy was O.J. Simpson.
Well, I have a connection there, too, because
go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I lived in Santa Monica, I lived right off of Bundy Drive. I could walk to the O.J. Simpson, trial scene. And I was living there when the trial was going on. So when the jury went, if you remember the trial, when the jury went out to see the crime scene, You know, I was walking distance from it. I used to, you know, people came out and visit me. I would bring them over there because it was the big topic at the time.
Yeah.
And I walked out on my porch, and there were so many helicopters in the sky. I don't know how
wow.
they put all of them up there. I mean, it was like, it must have been like 1,000 helicopters. I had never seen that many in my life. But that was kind of interesting. But just you know, let you know that you were talking about OJ. You know, I was right there. You know, at least you know in that sense. So you drove him around. That's interesting. Did you do it a couple times, or was that only once?
I'll tell you the one time I do remember is I go to pick him up in the morning, and he's running late. And I knock on his door and opens the door, and there's OJ. He's in his bathrobe. And he says, I'm sorry, man. You know, if you want to come in, sit down or whatever. I said, okay, fine. I said, you know, I'm in no rush because, again, I'm getting paid per hour, so he can take as long as he wants. And he says, all right, you want anything to drink? And I said, all right, give me some orange juice. So I had OJ with OJ. And I'll tell you what, he was the nicest guy in the world, and they were going on a ski trip. And eventually they all got in the car, and he kept saying, you know, I don't know if I can do this or not. I've never skied before. I don't know, whatever. And then he gives a big laugh, and he says, what am I worried about? I'm O.J. Simpson.
Right. So anyway, I've heard that before, too, several times from people who have met him and stuff said that he's really nice in person. You know, so, you know, it's interesting. It's a tragic story, but certainly, you know, an interesting topic. The other thing, okay, do you – now you have this – explain your live shows, your Lucky Guest show that we had originally talked about when I first started communicating with you. Give me some background on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just love game shows. I always have, and I just thought, you know, doing a game show, coming up with a right game show would be great. And there's a great history about game shows, too. You know, at one point, Merv Griffin was trying to come up with a game show. And, again, if you know the history of game shows, at one point there was this big scandal where the, you know, the contestants were given the answers beforehand. And, you know, and a couple of the shows had to go off the air. Some of the people were sued and all that stuff. So it was a real big deal. So as he's sitting in the kitchen with his wife thinking of trying to do a game show, you know, Merv jokes and says, okay, just make sure whatever we come up with, make sure we don't give him the answers. And his wife said, no, wait a minute, that's what we should do. Let's give him the answers. They have to create the questions. And that's how they came up with Jeopardy.
Hmm.
I said, that's great. I said, well, let me see, what can I do? And in doing research, I read a book about one game show producer. He said the key to any game show is if a little kid sitting watching the show on TV yells out the answer like he knows it, then it means you have a hit show.
Okay.
So I developed a game show where all the answers are multiple choice. And as you know, multiple choice, I'm giving you the answer. You just have to decide which is the right answer. And it's funny. I've done this show so many times. I have people yelling out answers like they were there, like they know exactly what happened, but they didn't. They're just guessing like anything else. So what I try to do, I try to mix it because I did a horse racing team. So I have three people physically standing on a track. They're asked multiple choice questions. They move down the track. Whoever gets to the finish line first wins. The audience is divided up into three sections, which I call cheering sections. So they can cheer for their own horse, and they can decide, you know, what's the right answer. So they're yelling out answers. But after the game starts, within a minute or two, you find out the strategy to the show is if your horse is not answering the question, you're going to yell out the wrong answer to confuse them. So you don't want them to win. You want your horse to win. So by having it multiple choice, you have the good and the bad of knowing what to do. So let me give you an example. You ready? You ready for a question?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So how tall was Abraham Lincoln? 6 foot, 6'2", or 6'4"? What do you say?
I would say 6'4" off the top of my head.
Very
I know
good.
He was over
and
6'4".
You would be right.
Yeah.
And you would be right, 6 foot. But imagine now you're playing, you say 6 foot. The next guy gets the same exact question. They say 6'2". The third person gets the same question. And you would be surprised, Leo, on how many people are not paying attention or they get confused. And they don't pay attention to the first contestant. And sometimes they get the third question wrong as well, even though the audience is yelling out the answer. So it's lots of fun. And hopefully along the way you also learn stuff. I'll give you one more question, and then I'll go to sports. But one more question. You ready? There are 88 keys on a piano. How many of the keys are white? 36, 44, or 52?
I think it's – I would say 52 off the top of my head without a
There are 36 black. 44 is just a thrown-in question, so the answer is right. 52. Very good, sir.
Wow.
Very good.
That's not usual for me answering questions right. So I'll take the two
Now, here's the beauty of the game, too. I have a specially built podium, and in the podium I have two boxes of questions. So instead of saying box one or box two or the red box or the blue box, to make it a horse theme, I come up with different titles. So I call one box odds on or even up. So as you as the contestant, before you even ask what's going on, you tell me. I say, what do you want, odds on or even up? So you're picking your own question, and this eliminates from one guy getting all the easy ones or the other guy getting all the difficult ones. Because I'm not picking it, you're picking it. So by you picking your own question, you're deciding whether it's good or not good. All right, now we go to sports. Ready for sports?
All right, throw something there. I'll probably get it wrong.
Which was the first sport to put numbers on the backs of players? Was it baseball, basketball, or football?
Wow. That's a good question. I never thought of that before. I would, off the top of my head, just because I think it's the oldest game, I would say baseball, but I would probably think that I'm probably wrong because that's the obvious. But go ahead. Give me the answer.
All right. So you say baseball?
I would say baseball off the top of my head, yeah.
It's wrong, but when you really think about it, it's the most logical one. And the logical one is football because they were all wearing helmets so you couldn't see their faces.
Ah, there you go. That makes sense. I picked baseball just because it was the oldest. I had a feeling because that was the obvious one that it was going to be one of the others. But that's a good question. I never really heard that question before. So that's a good one. I like that.
Here's another baseball. Here's another sports one. You ready? What is the shortest length of time for a major sport? Is it basketball, football, or baseball? The shortest amount of time to play that game.
Okay. Basketball, football, or baseball? That's the three?
Or baseball.
Okay. So we know baseball's got to be out there. Basketball or football? I would say basketball.
Football is 4 15-minute quarters, but basketball is 4 12-minute quarters. You are correct, sir.
All right. There we go. I wasn't even thinking of it like that. I was just thinking of it how I usually watch it, which one seems to be the longest and shortest.
Yep.
There you go. These are good questions. I like that. These are interesting questions. Good.
One more to complete it. You ready? What is the circumference of a basketball hoop? 18 inches, 22 inches, or 26 inches?
I'm going to go – I would say it's either 24 or 26, but I'm going to go with 26.
No, 18.
Is 18 really? Wow.
That's why you can never get it in the hoop.
Yeah, I always thought it was I was in the back end. I was covering an event at the Wells Fargo Center here in Philly, and then I was at in the back end where they have all the basketball hoops stored. I actually did a little video of it, where they store them, and they seem a lot bigger actually up close when you're right there than when you're on the normal court and they're 10 feet up. They look pretty small. That's why I was thinking on a bigger end. But I never really thought of the circumference of a basketball hoop. So these are great questions. These are ones you never hear on the radio or anybody talk about.
Right.
So I like it. So I learned something new.
That's the one I looked up right before we got on the air because I wanted to make sure I was right.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. And
it's fun to mix all this stuff together. It really is, because people then have to be aware of politics or music or movies or whatever, or even sports. And now, again, you think, but it's going to be easy, man. People are yelling out the answer. You still got to decide what's the right answer.
Right. And if the questions are good or interesting, it just brings the people in even more.
Exactly,
know?
Exactly. And, again, I've designed this, too, to be a terrific fundraiser, because what you do is we do the race as normal, but right before we play the race, we open up what we call the guessing windows. You guess on who's going to win, and then whatever money is raised all goes to charity.
Great. Awesome. Now,
yeah.
I had told you that this is Talk Sports Philly's 10th year anniversary coming up this fall. So we're going to be putting an event together. I haven't, made any
Good.
Details on it yet. Just know it's coming along. But we talked about bringing you down to do the show, during the event. So, hopefully you'll be able to do that, and we'll talk about it as the year goes on. And then start promoting the event. But it sounds, perfect for it sounds like a lot of fun for, a sports event or any event, actually.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. I'm actually looking forward to that. What do you see happening?
Let me just tell you about your event, because it's a good timing. So, yeah, the nice thing is, Leo, I can do this game in any length of time you need, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, whatever you need. That way it's so flexible. We can do it in or out, or we can play one race, then something else goes wrong, come back and play another race. But the other nice thing is, too, you tell me long enough when we're going to do this, and then I can do some research and do research about the Phillies or research about any Philadelphia team, or even do research about you. And then you become a part of the game, and the Phillies become part of the game. So it's a little bit more intimate.
Nobody wants to know about me, but the sports is good. The sports is great. So that's awesome. And so I like how the flexibility, allows you to fit into an event, in any way. So whether they want, long-term entertainment or just, short bits in there to during the event, you can do that. So that's actually a nice little feature. It's very flexible.
I thought of a question right away with you. I mean, one question could be that, when you lived in L.A., you were best friends with one of the stars of Friends. Who was it? So, again, I can name the three male stars of the show, and they'd have to guess which one. Now, if they knew you, they would know. But if they didn't know you, then they'd have to make a guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't say best friend. I was friendly with him. We used to hang out together. Like, I haven't seen him for years, so I don't even know if he would remember me at this point. But
yeah.
We used to play frisbee golf and softball and all that other type of stuff together. But, yeah, I can see how you make up the question there. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where do you see, and we have, about 2 minutes left to the show, but where do you want to go with your show? Where do you see yourself going forward with entertainment and stuff like that?
Well, I'm like a one-man band. I have so many different things going. I mean, I'd love to get this game show up and running. I mean, right now I've designed it with me as the MC, but that doesn't have to be. But it'd be great to get the show up and running, maybe on the Game Show Network. I have another show called Classic Movies with Ron McCluskey, where we show old movies. In fact, we didn't get even a chance to talk, but there's a great mix of sports movies. I mean, that's a category all by itself. Just, great movies that were made, whether it be Field of Dreams or Fear Strikes Out or whatever, but get that going. Then I'm making a movie about the life and career of Boris Karloff, who played Frankenstein. So I got so many things going on, but I would love to have a bunch of these things just get to a higher level where I get a chance to do different things and, of course, go back and make more music videos, like the Trump video, and just have fun.
Well, there you go. And if you love what you do, you're going to be successful at it. So, it's not that we can't do another interview going down the road and do some more talks on the radio. So, we have some other stuff to talk about as we go along, and it sounds great. And I want to thank you for coming on today with Talk Sports Philly and giving us a little background on what's going on, and we'll be contacting, connecting with each other later,
sure.
You know, throughout the year. So is there anything you'd like to say in parting to anybody out there, any fans or anything like that?
Well, yeah, if people are interested in my TV show, the classic show, it's called, again, it's all one word because nowadays everything is scrunched together. So it's Classic Movies with Ron McCluskey .weebly.com. So W-E-E-B-L-Y. And then
okay.
McCluskey is spelled unusual. And then also I have, you know, like what you do, you can go to YouTube and look up Ron McCluskey. In fact, my biggest guest that I had on my TV show, which a name you might know, is Marty Appel. Marty worked for the New York Yankees for 50 years. And he
I know the name. I don't know his background, like the detailed info on him, but I've heard the name.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy, and he just wrote a book about Leo DeRocher. So he really knows his stuff. So, yeah, so just go to the YouTube, go to the Internet, look up Ron McCluskey, and you'll see what I'm doing. And I also do my game show live in Cranberry, New Jersey, every Friday night. So if there's anybody that's down in that area, Cranberry's not that far, pop up and check it out.
Great. Awesome. And once again, I want to thank you for coming on. And to all the Talk Sports Philly fans out there, take a look at Ron McCluskey's stuff on the Internet, on YouTube, and I guess you could do a Google search on them and find out. There's some pretty good little video clips to watch. And we will be bringing you another guest next week on Wednesday. I don't know if it's going to be the same time, maybe at 1 o'clock on Wednesday next week. But and we'll see you then. So once again, Ron, thank you for taking the time out to talk with us, and I will be talking with you in the future.
Thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
All right. I'll talk with you later. Bye-bye, Ron.
All right. Bye-bye.